Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Ervin Tzadik Ches. Perhaps let's take a quick review of the Mishnah that we already learned yesterday on the bottom of Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. So it's 7 lines from the bottom, actually 8 lines from the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Hayekirei Basefer Leiskufa. If one was reading a sefer, Rashi describes the sefer as being a scroll. So he's reading a scroll on a skufa, which is a stoop, a threshold in front of a home. So this is skufa is between the home, which is a Rosh Hashayachid, and the street before it, which is a Rosh Hasharabim. And what happened with the skalgal sefer miyada? The scroll rolled out of his hands, but he's still holding on to the near side of the scroll, and the far side rolled out towards the street. Goyloi esloi, he can go ahead and roll it back towards himself. There's no concern. Hayekayre b'risha gag. However, if he's reading up on the rooftop, and the same thing happened, the skalgal sefer miyada, and the sefer rolled out of his hands, but again, he's still holding on to part of the sefer. So that depends. Actually, he gave a sort of tfachim. If it hadn't yet reached 10 tfachim within Rosh Hasharabim, goyloi esloi, then he can roll it back. Mishagel asar tefachim. However, if already reached within 10 tefachim of Rosh Hasharabim and is regarded like Rosh Hasharabim itself, in that case, hayifchay laksav, he simply turns it face down, but he cannot retrieve the sefer. Rabbi Da'imer, afilu ein masulak min aretz, a'elokim aloi hachut, even if it's just a bit off the ground, aloi hachut, the width of a little string. So it hadn't yet reached the ground completely, but it's just a bit off goyle etzloy, then he can roll it back without any concern. Even if it already landed on the ground itself, goyle etzloy here as well, he can go retrieve it, roll it back towards himself. Since we're speaking about kavod of a sefer, Chacham did not apply their isad rabbanon, shvus is an isad rabbanon, and they allowed him to roll back the sefer in order to avoid bezoyin, negating the honor of the sefer. Now, the concept here is very simple. Minat Torah, there's no issa whatsoever because he's still holding on to a part of the object. Rashi calls it igudei biyadai. It's still partially contained in his hands. In this case, there's no issa deraisa at all. Even if it actually lands, the far side of the scroll rolls completely out into the shasarab and lands on the ground below. Should he decide to retrieve it, there's no issa deraisa, because we don't consider the object as though it fully left his hands and reached the shasarab, because he's still holding on to part of it where he is up on the threshold. However, there's an issa derabbanon ishvus. We're concerned that if we allow him to roll it back in this manner, perhaps this will lead him to do the same even in a case where the entire object rolled out into the shasarab, where in that case certainly it involves an issa deraisa to bring it back. So it's an issa derabbanon issa shvus, and hence the machlekes in our Mishnah, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as it's a bit off the ground, then you're still okay, because it doesn't even appear like it landed in Shasarabim. Loi dami l'nefila klal, Rashi says a bit later. So it doesn't appear like it ever got transferred to Shasarabim, since it's suspended, it's dangling a bit above Shasarabim. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, roll it back. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it completely landed, the far side of the scroll, that is, completely landed on the floor below, where there is a shvus, generally speaking, we don't allow him to retrieve it. Nevertheless, in this case, he can go ahead and bring it back, as he says, because we're faced with a kisvei hakodesh concern. We don't want to degrade the sefer, leave it hanging there. Therefore, he can go bring it back. Goydeloi etzli. So we have two parts of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was describing a sefer which was being read on the skufa, on this threshold, on the stoop, rolled out. Mishnah says, you can roll it back. The Mishnah proceeded with the case of reading a sefer on a gag and it rolled out. Here we seem to have three shittas. According to Tanakama, it depends if it's within 10 tefachim to Shasarabim, in which case you have to leave it there, or if it hadn't yet reached that point, and then you can roll it back. Whereas according to Yehuda, even if it's dangling just a bit above the ground, you're still okay. According to Rabbi Shimon, even if it landed on the ground itself, you can still roll it back. A shvus will be overridden by the concern of the Kisvei HaKadosh. Says the Gemara, Hayi Skufa Hechidami. The mission began by describing the Skupa, where if the Sefer rolled from there, he can pull it back. What a type of Skupa are we speaking about? Ilem Yiskupa Rishasa Yachid. Perhaps we're speaking that it has a din of Rishasa Yachid, it's 10 Tvachim high, 4 Tvachim wide. Vikama Rishasa Rabim, and before it runs a Rishasa Rabim. So although the Sefer rolled out into Rishasa Rabim, and it actually landed in Rishasa Rabim, the far side of the Sefer that is, he can roll it back. There's no concern, but like Gazrinan, we don't make Gzera, Dilma Nafil, perhaps it's going to completely roll out, completely leave his hands, and end up in Shusrabim Basil Suya, and he may come to actually bring it back and do a malacha, De'oi Raisa, bring it from the Shusrabim up to the Skuba, which is the Shusayachid. We don't appear to have that concern. That's what it seems from the Reisha of the Mishnah. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, beginning with three lines from the bottom. Right at the end of that third line, Gemara. Speaking about a full-fledged stoop, a threshold which is a Rishus HaYochid, and before it runs a street, the mission tells us, even though the far side of this scroll is sitting in the street, it landed on the street. He can go roll it back to himself, up on the Skupa, which is a Rishus HaYochid. But like Gazrina, we're not concerned, Dilma Nafel, Kula Miyadi, perhaps the entire thing will fall out of his hand, everything will leave his hands. In this case, if he retrieves it, there's a Chiv Chatas, because he's transferring from one Rishus, the street, to the Skupa, which is a Rishus HaYochid. We don't seem to have that concern. Continues the Gemara up on Tzadik Chesamad Aleph. Mani, apparently, the Mishnah here is reflecting whose Shita. Whose Shita is this? That says that even though there's a concern of perhaps leading to a Malacha D'Araisa, so the Chacham should apply an Isser, meaning a Shavus, we're not concerned because we're faced with a concern of covered for the Sefer. Mani Rav Shimoni, apparently this is Rav Shimon, the Amar called Dover Shum Mishum Shavus, Einoi Oimid Bifnei Kisvei HaKodesh. Rav Shimon tells us later in the Mishnah that when we're faced with a concern of covered of a Sefer, we don't reckon with a Shavus. So apparently the Reisha, which doesn't either seem to be too concerned with a Isser Shavus, in face of the Kisvei HaKodesh, is Rav Shimon's Shita. Let's see Rashi inside. Up on the top of the Amud. Mani Masnisen Loi Gozer. Who is this Mishnah who doesn't apply Gzer? Apparently it's Rav Shimoni. The Omar Loi Gozer Shavus B'Kisvei HaKodesh. Apparently it's Rav Shimon. Why? It can't be Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yehuda HaOmar Ima Mesulak Min Oretz Malay Achut D'Loi Nach. Rav Yehuda maintains, if it's a bit off the ground, it hadn't yet landed, then who the goy lay etzle, then you can roll it back. The lekele migzav midik, in that case, there's no room for gzera. The loy damelin fidel klal doesn't appear like it fell at all, because it's still dangling there. Aval hunach kol du aser. However, if it landed even just a bit, if it actually came to rest in Rishus HaRabim, then you can't roll it back. The gazrinan igud b'yaday. We're concerned. We make gzera even when the he's still holding on to part of the scroll. It's partially contained in his hand. We don't allow rolling back, even in that case. For it might lead him to do the same when it entirely leaves his hands. In that case, it would be considered a malach. So Bida maintains, the only time you can roll it back is if it's still dangling, in which case it doesn't appear like it ever landed in Rishus HaRabim. But if it landed, then you can't roll it back, even if he's still holding on to part of it. So apparently the ratio of the Mishnah which allows retrieving this scroll, even if the far side actually landed on the street below. Apparently, it's following Shitas Rav Shimon, who says there's no shvus when it comes to a sefer. Okay, continues the Gemara on the second line. Eima sefer. If so, let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us that if he's reading a sefer on the gag and rolled out, then it depends. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, afilu in mesulak min oretz elam leyachut, goy leyatzlay. So if it's still a bit suspended, leyachut, just a string whiffs of airspace between the scroll and the street, then it doesn't appear like it landed, as Rashi explained. There's no reason to make a shvus here. We allow him to roll back the scroll. Rabbi Shimon Eimer, afilu baretz atzma. Even if it actually landed, it reached the ground itself, goy leyatzlay, you can scroll it back. So it's the last line of the Mishnah, which is Rav Shimon's Shita. Reisha v'Sefer Rav Shimon. So we're going to say that the first line of the Mishnah and the last line of the Mishnah following Rav Shimon Shita, Umetziasa Rav Yehuda, and the middle portion is Rav Yehuda. It doesn't seem that that's the correct approach. Meaning, since the last part of the Mishnah is Rav Shimon Shita, it appears that the initial part of the Mishnah is not following Rav Shimon Shita. So our approach seems to be problematic. Amar Rav Yehuda, he says, yeah, go ahead and learn in this manner, Reisha B'Sefer Rav Shimon. The initial part of the Mishnah and the conclusion of the Mishnah are Rav Shimon Shita, Metzias Rav Yehuda. The middle portion is Rav Yehuda, meaning that the Mishnah begins with a statement, with a halacha allowing us to retrieve a sefer that rolled out of the Iskupa, but then proceeds to say, listen, it's not entirely agreed upon by all. This happens to be a machlokes. And as the Mishnah elaborates, it actually depends on the Shitas, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. So this is Rav Yehuda's approach to our Mishnah, that the Reisha of the Mishnah, which allows one to retrieve a sefer, which seems to have totally landed, at least far side of the sefer landed in Shesu Rabim, he can retrieve it back to the Yiskuba, which is the Rishi Sayyaka. Then we're not concerned that perhaps next time it's going to totally leave his hands, it will come to do it. It's a Reisha by bringing it back from Shesu Rabim. We're not concerned, apparently this is Shitas Rav Shimon, who holds that a Shvus will not be applied in the face of a Kisvei HaKadosh. Continues the Gemara. Rabba Amar, Rabba had a different approach. Certainly the Iskupa here is Rishis HaYachid. But why? Why do we allow retrieving the Sefer in this case? Why is it different than the next part of the Mishnah where it's not really agreed upon by all that you can do such a thing? Says Rabba, we're speaking about a unique case. Iskupa HaNidresis HaSkinan. This threshold is trampled upon by the public. Due to the concern about excessive bezoyin, the degradation which will be resulting from this trampling by the rabbim on this area, the Chacham applied a special leniency, and we're not concerned with the shvus, allowed him to roll back the sefer. So according to Rabbah, there's a special heter here due to excessive bezoyin, which will result in the fact that it's a publicly trampled threshold. And of course, this is different than the case of the Gag. Over there, it's not a public area, nobody's trampling there, and therefore the Mishnah over there doesn't necessarily allow retrieving the sefer. Eishvi Abayi. So Abayi asked the Makasha, you're telling me that there's a special dispensation due to the fact that there's a bezoyin here, due to the fact that it's trampled upon. So we're not concerned about the possibility of this coming to an Issa D'Oraisa. So although if it actually leaves his hands entirely and falls into the street, and he goes and brings it back into the Iskupa, which is for Sayyachid, this will entail an Issa D'Oraisa. We're not concerned about that possibility. We don't apply a Shavuos because of the concern of the Bezoyin. Says Abayi, how are we going to understand the following Braisa? Eisvi Abayi. The Braisa says, well, you can bring it back to the Iskupa depending on how far it fell. If it fell within 4 amis, so it fell out into the street, but it's still within 4 amis, you can roll it back. But if it's past 4 amis, so it traveled 4 amis into the street, you no longer can roll it back, you have to turn it face down. And the reason seems to be because if it's past 4 amis, then that could perhaps lead to an Issa D'Oraisa, which is, sir, the malach of transferring something for Amos in the street. So that's the difference between within 4 and beyond 4. Says Abaye, vi Amos, vi skupa, hanidresis askinon. Now, according to you, there's a special heter in this case because it's a trampled upon threshold. So we do away with the shvus due to the concern of excessive bezoyin, right? We're not concerned about perhaps it's going to fall into the street, and he's going to bring it back and do a malacha, bring it from the Rishas Rabim, the Rishas Sayachat. We're not concerned about the malacha of Achnasa, because there's a concern of Bezoyin Kisvei HaKadosh. If that's the case, then Mali Toichtal Damis, Mali Chutzlar Bamis. What difference does it make if it's within 4 Amis or beyond 4 Amis? You're not concerned. You don't apply Shavuos because of the fact that it's trampled. So if you're not concerned that it might lead to a melacha of hachnasa. So why are you concerned that it might lead to a melacha of mave b'shisarabim? Let's see Rashi inside. So it's about 2-3 lines up from where we're holding in the Gemara. Rashi begins with mali chutz la'arba. This is a bias kasha. What difference does it make if it's within 4 or beyond 4? Hakula shvusi da'igdu b'yadei. The context here is merely shvus d'rabbanan, because he's still holding on to it. So at most, we're doing an issa d'rabbanan. If that's the case, umali maver daldamets b'shisarabim. Mali machnes b'shisarabim l'yiskuper shisayachet. What difference does it make if the concern is that it might lead him to transfer four amis in shisarabim or bring in from shisarabim to shisayachet? They're both malachis. And you're still allowing them. You're allowing it to be done. Look, you're allowing this fellow to bring the scroll back from Shisarabim because of the Bezoyin, and because it only involves Nisad Rabbanim, because he's still holding on to it, right? If that's the case, just as you allow him to bring in from Shisarabim to Yiskupa, once again, because he's still holding on to it, it's only a Sidur Rabbanan. And we're not concerned that this might lead him to actually bring it in once it entirely leaves his hands, which is an Issa Vachna. So we're not concerned about that, because a special heter due to the Bezoyin. If that's the case, apply that heter to this concern as well, to the Maver Dal Adam Mishas Rabim as well. Hachanami Islam Lemishri, we should allow Lahaver Dal Adam Mishas Rabim. You should allow this situation as well, meaning just as you're not concerned in the case of hachnasa, you say, well, since I'm holding on to it, it's okay. Well, perhaps this might entirely leave his hands and end up shisarabim, and he'll end up doing hachnasa, which is this is the right, so we're not concerned about that. And the reason is because there's a bazaar there. We drop that concern, says Abaye. So why reckon with this concern? Why is the Bryce to tell us, well, if it's four amis in the street, don't touch, don't roll it back? Why? Because this may lead a person to do a malacha. How? Although currently there's no malacha because he's holding on to it. So regardless of how far it is, by pulling it back he's not doing a malacha. But next time, he might leave his hands entirely, might end up in the street, he might end up transferring it for amis, which is a malacha. Well, you just told me you have no concerns. We drop these concerns. These malacha concerns when it involves a bezoin of kisvei HaKodesh. So how do we understand the Braisa? Says the Gemara, back to the Gemara, Elam Rabbaye, apparently, we're not speaking about this unique case of a trampled upon iskupa and the special heter. We drop our concerns. No. Elam Rabbaye, hachabi iskupa, karmeli saskina. We were never talking about a threshold which is a Rosh Hashayachad, which can even get involved with entailing an Issa deraisa. We're speaking about a karmelis. It's less than 10 tefachim in height. At most, even if it entirely leaves his hands, it ends up in the street, and he brings it back, there's no more than Issa d'Rabbanan. So that's a pshat in the Mishnah Koin Tabai. Hacha b'iskupa karmelis haskinan, v'shus harab mabiris lafonea. You have a street running right in front of him. So, regarding bringing it back in, if it falls out entirely, there's no concern, because at most, it's Issa d'Rabbanan. And that's why the Mishnah tells us, you can go ahead and roll it back. In the case where he's still holding on to part of it, because what's the worst thing that can happen? It's going to slip out of his hands completely and end up in the street. So what's the worst thing that can happen? He'll bring it from the street to the scoop, which is a karmelis, and only entails this is Rabbana. So we're not concerned about that. And now we understand the Braisa as well. Toich da'od amis. If it's still within four amis, what's the worst thing that can happen? Do you know if a little mice, if it entirely slips out of his hands and he goes and brings it back? It won't lead to a chiyuv chatas because he only transferred it less than four amis in the street, which is not a malacha. So in this case, the Rabbanan allowed it. However, chutz la'arba amos, if it rolled past four amis, in that case, should he go ahead and bring it back? Meaning if it entirely slipped out of his hands and go and retrieve it and transfer it four amis to Sarabim, also the chiyuv chatas. It can bring him to a chatas. In that case, l'shal Rabban didn't allow it. So according to Abaye, the reason why in the Reisha you can roll it back is because the skupa is a karmelis. So at most, it can only evolve an issa de rabbanon of transferring, bringing from the Rosh Hashanah to the Carmelis. And that's why the Brisa says, but that's only when it's within four amis, which there again, at most, can only evolve issa de rabbanon because of its past four amis. It might slip out of his hands completely, and he may transfer it the entire area of four amis, which is issa de rabbanon. In that case, we don't allow it. Continues the Gemara, Ihachi. So, if that's the pshat in the Brisa, that when there's any chance of issa de raisa being evolved, we don't allow it. If that's the case, toich dal damas nami, even if it's within four amis, nami nigzer, we should make a gzera dilamayil, mishasarav, mishasayachet. Perhaps it's going to slip out of his hands. He'll go down to the street, pick up the sefer, do the akira in shasarav, and bring it straight through the skupa into the home, and do the hanocha in the mishasayachet. This results in issa d'oraisa. So fine, the scuba is a karmel, but who says he's going to drop it on the scuba? Perhaps he's going to transfer it straight, directly from the street, continuously into the home. V'chitema, perhaps you'll say, give it the mafskas karmelis. Since there's a karmelis in between, meaning the threshold, less lomba, we're not concerned, because that terminates the act. V'omar Rava, didn't Rava tell us that it doesn't do so? Hamavr chifetz. Mitchilas arba l'sef arba. A person standing, let's say, in Rosh Hashanah, picks up an item, transfers it four amis in Rosh Hashanah, ve'viroi derech olof, and transfer it above himself, meaning up in the air, beyond the airspace of Rosh Hashanah. So even though he transferred it through a makam p'tur, chayev. He's chayev because he picked it up in the street, and he put it down the street, four amis away. So although it went through makam p'tur airspace, that doesn't do anything, because it doesn't terminate. The act is considered to be a continuous act, because it never came to rest on something. So in our case as well, we're concerned, perhaps, he'll pick up the sefer from Shisrab, he'll walk through the skupa, and put it down in the home. So since there was no hanocha on the skupa, we consider this to be one continuous malacha, one continuous act, akira in the street, hanocha in the home, which can result in a malacha d'oraisa. Hachamayaskina was speaking by skupa ruka, a long threshold. As he's walking on this long threshold, chances are he'll become mindful of the fact that it's Shabbos. Oh, what did I do? And I'll quickly put it down on the skupa, which is a karmelis, terminate the act, and it won't go ahead. It won't complete the melacha d'oraisa. Rashi says he'll stop it to rest on the skupa that's considered to be hanocha. Then resume, continue into the home, in which case he terminated the act. There's no malacha, the raisa being evolved. Certainly, we're speaking about a short iskupa. We're assuming that a sefer is something that a person will take a look. He'll start reading it. Who wrote it? Was Askamas? Let's take a look at the Shtigl Torah. So he's going to take a look at the sefer. And he's going to stop with it on the eskupa. By doing so, it creates a hanocha and terminates the act. And there's no malacha d'oraisa involved because it's no longer continuous masa from the street into the home. Says Gemara, v'leichosh du'ma ma'ayin bu'u b'shusarab. Okay, a sefer is something that a person looks into and reads. So he'll stop. But who says he's going to stop exactly on this threshold? Perhaps he's going to do it in the street. He'll pick it up, take a look at the sefer. And when he's done looking, he'll go continue, bring it into Shisayachet, va'ayelu behedyel Shisayachet, and he'll bring it continuously straight, a straight flight into Shisayachet, without stopping over on the Iskupa. So once again, it's going to entail him lachadarais. Hamani benazahi, we're following Shittas benazahi, the Omer Mahalach Oimadami, when a person walks, we consider it as though he came to rest. So in this case, when he walks through the Iskupa, it's as though he landed on the Iskupa, the Chayfas landed there, and terminated the act. It's no longer a continuous masa from the street to the home, and there's no malacha d'oraisa involved. Perhaps he's going to toss it from the street into the home. Certainly Benazir agrees, if he throws something, we don't deem it as though it landed. See here, once again, it can result in a malacha d'oraisa. Apparently, mezak in kisvei hakodesh. What is that meant to throw? Svar. So there's no concern at all that that will happen. So since he's going to pick it up and walk through the skupa holding the sefer. According to Ben Nazai, we consider that to be a hanocha, as though it landed on the skupa, in which case it terminated the act, and it won't result in a lacha deraisa, because he picked it up in the street, and he landed it on the skupa, which is a karmelis, picked it up from the skupa, and deposited it in the home. Here again, there's no malacha, the rice involved, and therefore, says Abaye, there's no concern about rolling back the sefer, which rolled away from the iskupa. Because at worst case scenario, that it slips completely into the sarabim, and he decides to bring it back in, a malacha de raisa will not result. So in conclusion, the Mishnah told us that if a person is reading a sefer on a iskupa, and it rolls away from him, he can go ahead and roll it back to himself, which indicates that even if it landed in Rosh Hasharabim, meaning the far side landed, came to rest on Rosh Hasharabim territory, he can roll it back. Why? Why is that? So we have three approaches to understand the Mishnah. Either we're speaking about a stoop, which indeed is a Rosh Hasharabim, positioned before a street, which is a Rosh Hasharabim. Why do we allow him to roll it back? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who following sheet is Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't apply Shvus in the case of Kisvei HaKodesh. According to Rabbah, this iskupa is a trampled upon area. We're concerned about excessive bizoyin resulting for the sefer, and therefore Rabbah says, we allow him to roll it back in any case. Abai's approaches, the iskupa is a karmelis, and therefore the Mishnah is not concerned about any isurim taking place. At worst case scenario, it falls out to the street, and he brings it back. There's no issa deraisa taking place in any case. And therefore says Abaye, this is different than the rooftop described in the latter part of the Mishnah, which is Rosh Hasharabim, which can result in issa deraisa. Here, the most that can happen is issa derabbanan. Therefore, in a case of a sefer, we're not concerned. And of course, that's how we understand the braisa as well, that only if it's within four amis, but if it's beyond four amis, that can somehow evolve into issa deraisa, and we don't want to allow it. Continues the Gemara. So now we're going to proceed to the second part of the Mishnah. Are you koyer b'risha gag? He's reading a sefer on a rooftop, which is Rosh Hasharabim. The Mishnah tells us if it rolls out and it reaches within 10 tefachim of the street, you have to go ahead and turn it face down. Umi shari, is that allowed? Can you take a sefer and turn it face down? Vatanya. Koyisvi sforim, tefillin mezuzas, those that are engaged in writing sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzas, leitiru lehen lahafach iri aponel. When they take a break, they can't take the scroll, they can't take the parchment and turn it face down to protect it from dust. Rather, you must take a beged and spread it over the writing. So how do we allow turning the sefer face down? Over there, we're speaking that he has access to a beged. Here he doesn't. So, although preferably he should spread a sheet over it, but if he has no access to a beged, at least this much, turn it face down. Because if he doesn't turn it face down, it'll be an excessive amount, a greater bezoyin, due to the accumulation of dust. So in this case, certainly the second best method is turn it upside down. Now Rashi says he doesn't have access to a beged. The Rashba actually learns that even if he has a beged to cover, but he can't roll the beged out towards the street, not allowed to do that. Therefore, it's considered to be loyafshar. He has no alternative. Rather, go ahead, take the sefer, and turn it face down. The Mishnah tells us he turns it face down. Why? Because it rolled down too far. It reached within 10 tefachim to the ground. If that's the case, the part that's near Rosh Hasharabim is considered to have landed in Rosh Hasharabim. So although he's still holding on to part of it, as we mentioned, midrabbanan, we consider it to have landed in Rosh Hasharabim, and we don't allow him to roll it back. Says Mabalaynach, but never landed. Nothing landed. It's dangling mid-air. There's no Issa Shvus here. Amarava, because it's Mashupa. Apparently we're speaking that the wall is sloping outward. So when it rolled towards Shisarabim, it landed on the surface of the wall. And if it's within 10 tefachim to Shisarabim, it's considered to have landed in Shisarabim itself. Why is a wall Shisarabim? So actually, Tosis in Shabbos, the Gimel Beis tells us, we're speaking that the public were accustomed to using it. They lean on it, they put their packages on it, and therefore, within 10 tefachim to Shisarabim, the surface of that wall has a din of Shisarabim, and that explains the Al Mishnah as well. Amalei Abayi, b'mayu kimta, l'masnisin, how have you established Al Mishnah? Because l'mashubah, that's landy wall, Eim a sefer, okay, let's proceed to the next line in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, afilu einim esulak min ha'aretz, ela malay achut, good leyetzle. Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if it's very close to the surface of Yisra'el, but it's just a bit lifted off the ground, malay achut, you can go and roll it back. V'nachle, if we're speaking about a sloped wall, so it landed on that wall, it is Yisra'el. How could we be allowed rolling it back? As long as it's a bit off the ground, but it's sitting in Shesha Rabbim. What's the difference if it's sitting on the ground below, or it's sitting on the wall, which has a din of Shesha Rabbim? Chisur Mechsra Vachitani, we're meant to revise the Mishnah, as though it's missing some words. And this is how we're meant to learn it. So Tanakhama begins by saying, if it rolls within 10 tefachim of the street, then you cannot roll it back. Ba'meh Dvar Mamurim, when is this said? When does this apply? Because it's Meshub, by a slanty wall. But if it's a horizontal wall, in which case it never really landed on any surface, it's simply dangling in the air, then even if it's within 10 tefachim to the ground, there's no concern because not even a portion of the scroll landed. Then we work with different criteria. If it's lifted 3 tefachim off the ground, which is beyond the shear of Lavud, right? So it hadn't reached the ground yet. Go last leg, you can roll it back. However, if it's within 3 tefachim to the ground, which is the din of Lavud, it's considered to be connected and landed on the ground itself. You must turn it face down. Rabbi Daimer, I feel in a mesuluk when it hurts. Even if it's just a bit off the ground, you can still roll it back, even if it's within 3 tefachim. Why? Because unless it actually lands, it comes to rest on something. It doesn't have to be a space of 4x4 tefachim, even a mashal, but it has to come to rest, it has to land on something in order to be considered hanacha. So Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is, even if it's within 3 tefachim to the ground, but it hadn't yet landed on solid surface, we don't deem it as a hanacha, it's dangling mid-air, it can roll it back. However, the Tanakhama seems to hold that if it's within 3 to the ground, even if it's still dangling, that's considered a hanacha, and there's a shvus that's preventing him from rolling it back. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, then how do I understand the following statement of Rava? If you toss something within the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rabbanon, so Rashi explains, because according to Rabbi Akiva, anything within the airspace is considered as though it landed. According to Rabbanon, we don't apply that concept. And the Chiddush is, even if it's within 3 tefach to the ground, very close to the ground, it needs to land on something. Otherwise, there's no hanacha. So this concept of lavud does not accomplish hanacha. That's Rava's statement. Lemekatanoi amr l'shmaite. Shall we say that this statement of Rava is subject to dispute between these tanoim? Sure, Rabbi Yehuda appears to be holding like Rava. That's why he holds if it's a bit off the ground, even if it's between 3 tefachim to the ground. But if it's still dangling a bit, hanacha didn't take place. But the Tanakama seems to hold that as long as it reaches within 3 to the ground, it's considered hanacha, which prevents him from rolling it back. So this concept of Rava, that hanacha is required in all circumstances, seems to be subject to machlokes tanoim, which is a bit difficult to say that a statement of amira is subject to machlokes tanoim. So as the Gemara, you're right. Ela kula Rabbi Yehuda. We're meant to relearn the Mishnah differently. There's no 3 shittas here. There's no Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda. The entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah tells us that if you're sitting on the gag and it rolls out, it reaches within 10 tefachim to the Rosh Hashanah, leave it there. V'chsur mechzer v'chiktani. The Mishnah needs to be revised as though it's missing some words, and this is how we're going to learn it. So if it's in 10 tefachim to the ground, leave it there. But medvam amurim, when is that said? Because of a shupa, by a slopey wall, in which case it came to rest on that wall, within 10 to the Rosh Hashanah, it's considered as though that end of the scroll is sitting in Shusrabim, you have to leave it there. There's a shvus. We're concerned perhaps next time the entire sefer will end up there and is going to bring it back in, which is a malacha, so you must leave it there. But if the wall is not sloped, it's a horizontal wall, in which case the scroll hadn't yet come to rest on anything, it's just dangling midair. In that case, there's no limitation of 10 tefachim. Afilu pachas mishloisha tefachim. Even if it's below 10, if it's below 3 to the ground, you can still roll it back. Why? Because it never came to rest. There was no hanacha here. Shab Yudah Eimer, afilu einem esulok min aretz, elam alayachut, goy layatzli. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that even if it's just a malei achot, just a teeny bit off the ground, you can go roll it back. My time, why? The beina hanocha al gabi mashu. Because unless it landed on just something, unless it came to rest on even a small surface, there was no hanocha taking place. And even if it would be completely out of his hands and dangling over there, not having come to rest, there's no issa d'oraisa involved. So this can never lead to issa d'oraisa. We don't view any hanocha as having taken place here. Therefore, there's no reason to prevent them from rolling it back. So according to the maskon of the Gemara, there's no Tanakama of Yehuda. The entire first part of this Mishnah, up until Rav Shimon, is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The point is, was there hanocha? Leave it there. Was there no hanocha? Roll it back. But then we have Shitas Rav Shimon, of course, that holds that even if it actually landed in the street, the far end of the scroll, that is, even if it landed on the ground below, which certainly is considered hanocha, according to Rav Shimon, you can still roll it back, because when it involves a concern of Kisvei HaKodesh, no shvus is applied. So in summary, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the entire Shita here, of course we follow Rava's opinion, Rava's statement, that within three tvachim Tirshis Rav will not be considered hanocha unless it landed al gabe mashu. Okay, let's take a quick review of the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us the person is reading a sefer and it rolls out of his hand. So he's still holding on to the near portion, but the far side rolled away from him. We have two parts of the Mishnah. The Mishnah initially describes the sefer rolling off a skufa. And the Mishnah tells us you can roll it back, retrieve the sefer. It indicates that even if it actually landed, the far side rolled out and landed in Shas Rabim, he's allowed to roll it back. Why? Why is he allowed to do that? We have three approaches in the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who follows Shitas Rabbi Shimon, who says that Shvus is not applied when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh. Rabbi says, we're speaking about a skupa and addresses, trampled upon threshold, which results in a greater degree of bezayin for the sefer. Not only is it lying out there, but it's going to be stepped upon. Therefore, Rabbi says, Chacham didn't apply a shvus, they allow him to roll it back to the skupa. Now, according to both these approaches, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi, this is skupa speaking about Rishus HaYachad, in front of Rishus HaRab. According to Abaye, the reason why a skupa is different is because it's a skupa karmelis. It's not ten tefachim high. So the worst case scenario, if the sefer actually leaves his hands completely, ends up in the street, what could happen? At most, is a yisad rabbanon, transferred from Rishus HaRab to a karmelis. And therefore, if it only involves yisad rabbanon, at worst case, the Chacham didn't apply an iser when it comes to the Kisvei HaKodesh. In the second part of the Mishnah, described a person reading a sefer on his rooftop, which is certainly a Rishus HaYachad. Here we have two shittas. Rabbi Yehuda says, the concern is only if it actually landed. We have two different descriptions of landing. Either it's within 10 tefachim to the ground, and it landed on a sloped wall, which has a din of Rishus HaRabim, or in the case of a perfectly straight wall, but the scroll landed actually on the ground itself. In this case, there was a partial hanocha, there's shvus here, and it can no longer roll it back. According to Rabbi Shimon, even if it actually landed, you can go roll it back, because according to Rabbi Shimon, when it involves the concern of Kisvei HaKodesh, no shvus is applied. Continues the Mishnah, Ziz Shelifnei Chaloyin, this ledge, which is positioned in front of a window, extending from the home over to the street, nice and alav, when we place items from the home onto the ledge, v'naitim menu b'Shabbos, likewise, you can retrieve objects from the ledge into the home on Shabbos. Says Gemara, ha'iziz the mapik lehecha. Where is this ledge extending to? Ilem the mapik l'shus harabim. Shall we say that it's extending over into the street? How can you use this? Lechush, why are we concerned? Dilma nafel. Perhaps when he places an item on this ledge, it might trip down and fall into Rishus HaRabim. And it may come to actually bring the chevetz back from the street into the home. And do a malach. Elo de mapek Rishus HaYachad. Apparently, this ledge is extending over into Rishus HaYachad, in which case is no concern. Pshita, then of course, why would I think that you can't use the ledge? Amar Abayi lo ilom de mapek Rishus HaRabim. Certainly, it's extending over into Rishus HaRabim. Umay noisen olav diktani. What does the Mishnah mean when it says you can put something on it? Kela manish barim. We're speaking about fragile utensils made of pottery or glass, in which case, even on the chance that they fall into the street, they're going to splatter and shatter, and there'll be nothing to retrieve, and it will not result in an Issur D'Oraisa. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn likewise in the Braisa. Ziz Shilofnei Achaloyin, this ledge positioned before the window, Hayoyt Lushus HaRab, which extends out into the street, Noisen Olav, you can place on this ledge Ka'arois, bowls, Vekoises, cups, Ketoinius, pitchers, Leiches, and containers, made of either Cheres or glass, where there's no concern of any malacha, because at worst case they fall into the street, there'll be nothing to bring back. The Braisa continues, Umeshtamesh Bechol HaKoisel. One can go ahead and use this ledge wherever it's positioned, throughout the entire wall, up high, down below, Ad Asara Tachtoinim. But you can only use it if it's up until 10 Tfachim of the street. So it must be beyond the 10 Tefach mark of the street, in which case it is not regarded as Rishisayachit. So wherever these ledges are, wide, narrow, up, high, low, it doesn't matter, as long as it's not within 10 Tfachim to the street. If we have a case that we have a double ledge, one below and one above it, Mishtameshboi, you can use the lower ledge. Ube'elyon, however, regarding use of the upper ledge, that we're limited. Eimishtameshboi, ela keneged chalayne. You can only use the part of the ledge which is right in front of his window. Seems to be a bit cryptic. Says the Gemara, hayziz echidami. This ziz here, what are we speaking? What type of size ledge are we discussing? Either less be arba. If it doesn't have the proper dimension of 4x4 tfach, makim turu, it's considered to be an exempt area, and in this case, you can't even use it at all. Afilu keneged chaloinoi nami lo yishtamish. You shouldn't be able to use even the portion which is right near his window. Why? What's wrong with using a small size area? Explains Rashi, that although generally speaking, a makim ptur has free use. We don't reckon with it. A small size area, anybody can use it. We actually learned that if it's a small area near Rishis Yochad and Rishis Rab, they both can use it. However, says Rashi, that's only occasional use, sporadic use, but constant, permanent use we don't allow, because since it's such a small-sized area, it's not a conveniently used area, and perhaps the kli would just slip right off it, since it's not large enough in size to really contain things. So chances are it's going to slip into Rishis Rabim. And what happens then? So although we're speaking about pottery and glass which will shatter, Rashi says, but it still appears like he's throwing things into Rishis Rabim. Because if it's something we're just going to use on a constant basis, chances are that it's going to end up sooner or later slipping into Rishis Rabim, and it appears like he's just tossing things into the street. So this is the Rabbanon, and the Gemara is assuming, taking this for granted, it would be awesome. So if that's the case, we're speaking about a small size ledge, you shouldn't be able to use it at all. And if this ledge is properly sized, 4x4 tefachim, b'kulei kaisel ishtamish. Why can't he use the ledge running across the entire wall? Why are we limiting him? Why are we restricting him to the portion of the ledge which is right in front of the window? Amar Abaye, this is the case. Tachtin d'isbe abo. Remember the Braisa spoke about a double ledge. So the low one is properly sized, 4x4 tefachim, which allows for use. V'elyon, however, less be'arbo. The top one doesn't have 4x4 on its own. V'chaloyna meshlimosu ledalet. However, the space of the actual window completes the ledge, completes the surface area to 4x4. That explains the Braisa. K'neged chaloyna meshtamish. So right in front of that window, he can use because the chayri chaloynu. We view it as a hole of the window, meaning it's an extension of the window. So since if you apply the window with the ledge together, you have a total space of 4x4. It's a properly sized area which allows use. So only that portion can be used. However, the haigisa, the ledge on either side of the window, also cannot be used because they're too small in size. As we just explained, you need to have a properly sized area in order to allow its use. So that's what the Braisa discusses, two separate ledges to teach us all these halachas. The lower ledge is properly sized and can be used without any hesitation. However, the upper ledge, which is narrow in size, is off limits, except for the portion right in front of that window. Because if you combine the space of the window with the ledge, you arrive at a total of 4x4, which is a suitably sized area, which allows its use. Now, Tosfos points out the reason why the Braisa discussed a lower ledge as well, to teach us an additional chiddush, although it's kind of hard to access it, because it's beyond the upper ledge. You have to get there in a roundabout way. So the chiddush is, even though it's l'nichat ha-shmishta, it's not a conveniently accessed area, it still has a din of a rishus ha-yachid, you can use it. Perhaps the point is that we're not concerned that things are going to slip out into the street. In this case, more than an ordinary ledge. So the chiddush here is that you can use the lower ledge freely. Regarding the upper ledge, we have the additional halacha, additional chiddush, that since it's small in size, you can't use it except for the area right near the window, which results in a properly sized surface. So in summary, Mishnah tells us, we have this ledge extending from the home over to the street. You can use it, even if it's extending into Sezerabim. We're speaking about Kalim HaNishparim, fragile Kalim. And it needs to be a surface area 4x4 Tefachim. Continues the Mishnah. A person may stand in Rishus HaYachid and lean over and move things around the street as long as he doesn't bring it back to Rishus HaYachid. Likewise, Rishus HaRabim, he could stand in the street and move things around in Rishus HaYachid. Provided that he doesn't transfer out of four amis, meaning if he's standing in Rishus HaYachid and he's reaching over into Rishus HaRabim and he's handling something, he has to make sure not to transfer that item at a distance of four amis from where it was originally positioned, which would involve a melacha of havara b'shus harabim. So he can handle things, provided that he stays within these guidelines. Lo yamad adam b'shus hayachad v'yashta b'shus harabim. A person should not stand b'shus hayachad and pass water in b'shus harabim, because he's doing a haitzah. He's being moitzi the miraglayim from b'shus to the other. Likewise, in the reverse, b'shus harabim, he shouldn't stand in the street, and pass water into Rishus HaYachid. Likewise, he shouldn't spit from one Rishus to the other. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says a chiddush. Af mishen nitlash rika b'fiv. Even if a person is standing in the street and his roik, his saliva, his phlegm got detached from his mouth, meaning it's rolled up and it's about to spit out, lo yahalech arba amos ad sheyorik. He shouldn't walk for amos until he actually relieves himself of that phlegm, because once it was nitlash, Rashi says it was this agel, it got rolled up and it's available to be released, then it's no longer considered to be part of his body, and the Rebbe maintains it's considered like a load. He shouldn't walk for amis with that phlegm in his mouth. Continues the Gemara. Masni le Rav Chinna bar Shlamya, Rav Chinna bar Shlamya taught lechi bar Rav, Techiya, the son of Rav, come to Rav, in the presence of Rav. So he taught him the halacha of our Mishnah, but he revised it a bit. Instead of saying, you can stand in one Rishus and be metal in the other, he dictated to him a bit differently. Lo yamid, other Mishnah Sayachid, u viyatatal u bimetatal b'shus Rav. He shouldn't stand in one Rishus and handle in the other. Amar Leh, so Rav, who was listening in, said, one second, what's going on? Shafkas Rabban, have you abandoned the Rabban who allow this? On the Abdiska Rav Meir, and you assume the sheet of Rav Meir, Rashi brings a Mishnah that Kuf Aleph, who Rav Meir does not allow standing in one Rishus and handling an object in the other, concerned perhaps he's going to bring it back into his Rishus. So you follow Rav Meir, you abandoning the Rabban who allow. Says the Gemara, who's Savar? Rav Chinna figured mid the Sefer Rav Meir, since the Sefer, meaning the Mishnah later on of Kuf Aleph, is following sheet of Rav Meir, who's concerned, doesn't allow this cross Rishus transfer handling. So since that Mishnah is Rav Meir, Reisha Nami Rav Meir. Apparently the Reisha as well, meaning our Mishnah, is following Shitas Rav Meir. I'm going to revise the Gersa. We're not allowed to stand in one Rishus and handle something in the other one. And that's why he taught his student this Gersa. And says the Gemara, no, Veloy, actually it's not so. Sefer Rav Meir. True, the Sefer is Rav Meir, who doesn't allow this type of transferring. Veresha Rabbanan, however, the Reisha, meaning our Mishnah, is following Shitas Rabbanan, who are not concerned. In a case where he stands in one Rishus and handles something in the other, we're not concerned that he's going to bring it back into his Rishus and do a malacha derais. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah, which had two parts to it. He was standing reading the Sefer, and a portion of the Sefer rolled away from him. So the first part of the Mishnah discussed a case where he was standing on this iskupa, this threshold, this stoop. The Mishnah tells us that even if it rolled away and it landed in Rishus HaRabim, he can go and roll it back to himself. How do we understand that this halacha? So we have three approaches. Either we're speaking about a threshold which is a Rishus HaYachid, and it is positioned before a street which is a Rishus HaRabim. Why aren't we concerned? Why don't we apply a Shavus? Meaning, Minat Torah, of course, since partially is, it's still partially in his hand. It never left his hand. So even if it's landed, if it landed, Parah landed Rishus HaRabim, there's no Malacha. But Midrash Rabbanon, we shouldn't allow it for concern that this might lead him to do the same, to retrieve an article which was completely in Rishus HaRabim. So there's a Shavus that should be applied. So why does the Mishnah allow rolling it back? So we have three approaches. According to Rav Yehuda and Rabba, we're speaking about a scope of Rosh HaSayachit. Rav Yehuda maintains that this Mishnah here is following Shittas Rav Shimon, who doesn't apply a Shavus in the face of a concern of Kavod of a Sefer. Rabba says there's a special dispensation here because we're speaking about a trampled upon a scope, which involves excessive degradation of Bezoin for the Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore a Shavus won't be applied. Abaye maintains, we're not speaking about a scope of Rosh HaSayachit, rather a scope which is a Karmelis. So at worst case, what could happen? It will slip out of his hands, end up in the street, and he'll bring it back. What's going to happen? Merely it's a Rabbanon, from Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis. So therefore, Abaye says, the Chacham did not apply a Shavus here, in the case where the Sefer rolled out of his hands, even if the far side of the Sefer is completely on the street below. We have another Lach in the Mishnah. If he was sitting on the rooftop and the Sefer rolled out of his hands, the rooftop certainly is a Rishus HaYachid. Now we have a machlekes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if the far side of the Sefer landed, we have two scenarios of landing. Either it landed on a slope of a wall within 10 tefachim of the street, or there was no slopey wall, but there was a landing on the street below. So the far side of the Sefer actually landed on the ground. In either case, a shvus is applied since the Sefer is partially landed in Rishus HaRabim. We're concerned if we allow rolling back. In this case, perhaps he's going to roll back even if it's completely in the street, completely left his hand, so the Shavus Rabbanon is applied, and he can no longer retrieve the Sefer. What does he do? He puts it face down, the Gemara tells us, although technically he's supposed to go ahead and cover it, but when he has no option, he has no access to a beged, this is the second best approach, put it face down, protect it from Bezoyim. Rav Shimon maintains that even if it completely was nach, meaning the far side of the Sefer rolled down to the street, he can roll it back because a shvus does not apply in the context of kavod for Kisvei HaKodesh. We learned that when we have a ledge protruding from the home out to the street, you can use it, even if it's over the Rishus HaRabim, provided you use it for Kelim and Shbarim, which at worst case will drop down and break and he won't bring it back from the street. But this ledge needs to be properly sized for Tfachim. And we concluded with the halacha that a person can stand in one Rishus and handle things in the other Rishus. So in contrast with Rav Meir's concern that if we allow this, perhaps he's going to bring it back to where he's standing. The Rabbanon allow it, not concerned. And the Mishnah told us, provided that he doesn't go ahead and actually move the Chafetz for Amis in Rishus HaRabim.